This morning we're looking at Psalm 20, praying before the battle. And I wanted to mention this while I'm thinking about it. You'll be getting ready for Psalm 21 on Wednesday night. And I wanted to mention that both of these psalms go well together. It's like two sides of a coin. There are some psalms like that, and we don't know if they were put in this order for this reason, but there are pairs of psalms that really go well together. Psalm 3 and 4, a morning prayer of trust, an evening prayer of trust. Those two psalms go well together. 20 and 21 go well together. And I just wanted to give you a heads up. As you're looking at your lesson for Wednesday night, I want you to go back and look at Psalm 20. Psalm 20 is praying before the battle. Psalm 21 is praising God after the battle is won. And so when you're reading Psalm 21, you're going to notice that some of the points that are found in Psalm 20, they are brought up again in Psalm 21. So I wanted to give you that heads up. So when you're studying 20 and 21, keep them together, read them together, study them together. For example, look at verse 4, Psalm 20, verse 4. Grant thee thy heart's desire and fulfill all thy counsel. Look at 21, verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and is not withholden the request of his lips. So the people in Psalm 20 are praying for the king before the battle. And then in Psalm 21, they're praising God for victory after the battle. And I wanted to give you that as a heads up. So this morning we want to look at Psalm 20, praying for the king, maybe King David, most likely, praying for the king before going into battle. Let's read together Psalm 20, verses 1 through 9. Jehovah answer thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set thee up on high. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee thy heart's desire and fulfill all thy counsel. We will triumph in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. Jehovah, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that Jehovah saveth his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will make mention of the name of Jehovah our God. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Jehovah. Let the king answer us when we call. Notice in Psalm 20, for example, we have the word we in verse 7. Let the king answer us, verse 9. This psalm is not a psalm of just one person. It's people. It's the faithful of Israel who are praying for the king. There are those who are praying for the king, and most likely right before going into battle. Notice in verses 1 through 4, we have, at least in the older versions, thee. Jehovah answer thee in the day of trouble. It's somebody out here praying to God for the king. Grant thee thy heart's desire, verse 4. It's the people praying for the king. We hope that God will grant you your heart's desire. So that's the setting here. In some of the psalms that we've already looked at, it's the psalmist who's the focus, just I and that type of thing. But here it's a third party. It's a group of faithful Israelites praying for the king. For example, verse 3, remember all thy offerings. The people want God to remember the offerings that the king has offered up in the tabernacle and so forth. So what we have here is a prayer before going into battle or in a time of trouble. And we mention battle because if you look, for example, at verse 7, chariots and horses, there is language used here that refers to a battle. Look at verse 5, the word triumph. Then in verse 5, set up our banners. What happens here is that and you've maybe seen this on movies, where two armies are, in the old days, two armies come up together in this field and they're facing off each other. And what they've got their banners flying, the banners that represent their clan or their people, and they raise them up and they're very proud of that. So this is definitely language that is used in the sense of a battle, and even like in the Civil War. One thing that would happen right before a battle is you would send your colors out there. Get the colors out front, and the music, you got the little, you know, musician guys, and you got the colors out there, and you sort of parade a little bit, and then, you know, here go the guns. So, this is the language of a battle, and the people are praying for the king. Now, What would be a good outline for this particular psalm? Look at verses 1 through 3. We have this idea of answer. The idea of answer. Look at verse 1. Jehovah answer thee. Verse 6. He will answer him. Verse 9. The king answer us. So, it's the idea of the Lord answering this prayer. In verses 1 through 3, the Lord answers in the day of trouble. So, answer thee in the day of trouble, verse 1. Verses 4 through 6, the Lord will answer in the day of triumph. And then verses 7 through 9, the Lord will answer in the day that we trust in Him. So, trouble, verse 1, triumph, verse 5, and trust, verse 7. And so it's a beautiful psalm of God hearing prayer, God answering prayer. Another theme that shows up, if you'll notice this, in verse 1. Notice the name of the God of Jacob, verse 1. Notice that. And then it shows up again in verse 7, the name of Jehovah our God. Verse 5, the name of our God. So underscore that. That is a running theme of this is the prayers being offered up in the name of the Lord. The battle is being won in the name of the Lord. And of course, we talk about today praying in the name of Jesus. Name means authority, all that a person stands for. So you begin to see this prayer in the name of the Lord. Psalm 20 most likely is a picture of the people praying before the battle. Psalm 21 is a picture of the people praising God after the battle has been won. So these two psalms go well together. Let's look at some questions this morning. Larry, we'll start with you. Number one, when does the Lord answer prayer and what does the Lord do?
It's in the day of trouble,
sets on high. Right. He's going to, they're praying that the Lord would set the king on high. Jehovah answer thee. Well, who is the thee? The thee is the king. And it's the faithful people praying to the Lord that he would answer the king. And so it's an offering up of prayer for him. We talk about intercessory prayer where we pray for others, we pray for leaders, we pray for kings. That's what is going on here. So that God would answer, and it's in the day of trouble. And we, of course, we need to go to Him in the day of trouble, and He will set us on high. Number two, Tammy, where does the Lord's help come from? Right, the sanctuary here is probably a reference to the tabernacle prior to the temple being built in Jerusalem. And so the king goes in there and he's praying and he's offering up sacrifices, and the people are there and they're praying for him as well. Okay? And then later, he's also answering from heaven, verse 6. But in verse 2, it's in the tabernacle where God shows his dwelling place for Israel. Brandon, number three, what does the Lord remember and accept?
All the offerings
and sacrifices. Okay. So the king is going in to offer these sacrifices. Remember all thy, the king's, sacrifices. So the people are saying, Lord, please answer him, help him. He's about to go into battle. Remember his sacrifices. And notice something in verse 3. We all want our prayers answered, right? Everybody wants their prayers answered. But what do we need to be doing? Verse 3. We need to be worshiping and offering up our sacrifices. It's not a matter of, well, we just kind of live any way we want throughout the week. And then when we pray, well, we want God to hear our prayer. No, it's answered prayer because he's been living right and worshiping and going to the tabernacle and doing what he's supposed to do. So it's both. And God will certainly answer our prayers, but he's answering the prayers of those who are faithfully following him. And that's very important. So the king had been doing what he was supposed to be doing, and God will come and help him. And we need to remember that. Of course, we don't have literal animal sacrifices today, but we have, as we'll see later, we have our spiritual sacrifices, our worship. We need to be here and serving God and so forth, and our prayers will be answered. Okay, Mike Evans, number four. What does the Lord grant and fulfill?
May he grant your heart's desires and fulfill all your counsel or purpose.
Right, and of course, this is in the context. You got to keep things in context. Does that mean, verse 4, that whatever the king prays for, he gets, you know, money and... No, it's in the context of this upcoming battle. And the council here is the war council and the battle plans and going into, you know, fighting and so forth. So it's in that context. We need, you know, all, you know, anything your heart wants? Well, no. We have to pray according to God's will. But in this context, what the people were praying for and what the king was wanting, the Lord would grant that. And we find in Psalm 21, verse 2, if you read ahead, that the Lord did that very thing. He granted those requests. Okay? Patricia, number 5, what do the faithful of Israel triumph in? Right. God is going to give the victory. God is going to help them. So it's not just the people alone. It's we will triumph in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. So God is going to help give the victory there. Number 6, Joyce, who does the Lord save? Yeah, and the anointed here, it would be the king. It would be King David or the king at this time, most likely David. This is the Hebrew word Messiah. Some see and hear a reference to Christ. I believe that this is not messianic. It's just simply praying for the king, King David. But the anointed in the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed. And so in this case, it would be the king, King David. And the Lord will save him. And where and how does the Lord answer prayer, Joyce? Right. So ultimately, God is in heaven. He representatively dwelt in the tabernacle. Verse 2, But ultimately, he resides in heaven, and that's ultimately where his answer comes from. And he's going to do that with the strength of his right hand. God is not weak. He will powerfully come down and help save in time of trouble. Eric, number seven, what do some trust in, and what do the faithful of Israel trust in? Right. And we even see this in the prophets. You'll see it in Isaiah. You'll see it in the prophets where don't trust in Egypt, who's a broken reed, and don't put your trust in man and things like that. We find that other places in the Old Testament. We need to be putting our trust in God. We're going to make mention of the name of our Jehovah, our God. Ultimately, the success of any nation, and it includes America, it's not in military power. It's in their willingness to trust in God. And it doesn't matter. This has been shown over and over again with all mighty empires from Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. You just keep coming on down through time. You can have a mighty army, you can have a massive amount of money and military power, and you're still going to fall. So we need to remember that. And, you know, America gets described as, you know, this mighty military power, you know, and everybody all over the world calls on us to come help, you know. And some people think, you know, well, because of that, America will just never fall. But it will if it does not have God as their God. So here's David. He's got a well-trained army. In the days of David and Solomon, Israel was very powerful. And they're marching out to this battle, but the faithful realize that ultimately it's in God that we trust. And we've got that all over our money, but we're not living it. And it's just paper, it's just coins, it's just words, in God we trust. It's just some leftover lyric from days gone by that really doesn't mean a whole lot today to many. But that's where our trust needs to be. So even Israel marching out on the battlefield with a, you know, well-trained army, they realized that God was the one giving the salvation, and we need to remember that as well. We're not fighting physical battles, as we'll see in a minute in our applications. We're fighting spiritual battles, and we need to make those applications in our life. But just in general, as a nation, even with physical battles and things, America needs to remember that God is to be their Savior and trust. But we're losing that. Okay. Sherry, number eight. What position do Israel's enemies have, and what position do the faithful of Israel have?
The enemies have bowed down and fallen, and the faithful have risen up and stand upright.
Right. The we of verse 8 is the faithful of Israel who are praying for the king, the ones that have been praying from verse 1 on down. Shannon, number 9, what requests do the faithful of Israel have?
For salvation to be saved and answer when they call.
Right. The king, some versions have king capitalized there in verse 9 to help us realize that we're talking about God, not King David. It gets a little confusing with some versions. Are they now talking about King David? But this is most likely parallelism, where Jehovah of the first line is parallel to King in the second line. Save is parallel to answer us. So the King there, capital K, is God. So a prayer for the king before battle. Praying before the battle, Psalm 20. Psalm 21, praising after the battle. It's a great picture. Under our applications now, Patty, number 1, what is to be added to the whole armor of God? Let's turn over to Ephesians 6.
Prayer.
prayer. So, you know, in Ephesians 6, we have this whole armor of God. Now we're talking about spiritual battles. We're going up against the devil. You'll see some of the same words used here. The strength of his might. We've been reading about the strength of the Lord, the strength of thy right hand, and so forth. When we go up against the devil, temptations, troubles, problems on a daily basis, we need to have on the whole armor of God. But look at what tops it all off. Verse 18, and with all prayer and supplication. Get it all on there, but you have to put prayer in there. And so when you're ready to go into battle, get all that armor on, and there's great lessons in each one of those pieces of armor, and we've studied that before, but you've got to top it off with prayer. We can't get out there without prayer. Pray before going out there. And so I put in the notes, always kneel before you fight. Always pray before you get into trouble. Don't wait until you get into trouble to pray. Verse 1, Psalm 20, the day of trouble. Well, we're going to pray before we get into that. And that will help us. That will aid us. Have we ever, maybe we've caught ourselves out there trying to fight the devil, and we look back and we're like, I didn't even pray for that one. And that may be why we failed. Number 2. David, what did Paul say about praying for the nation's leaders and rulers?
In there it says pray for all men, but for rulers and those in authority, that we may lead a peaceful life.
Right. Psalm 20 is the faithful of Israel praying for the king. You know, Lord, please hear his request. Please remember his offerings. Please help him in the day of trouble and so forth. Please lift him on high. So we need to pray like they did. Pray for the king. Pray for the leaders. And we certainly need to do that today with our own. Amanda, number 3, what do Christians offer up to God? Right. In verse 3, the king went into the tabernacle and offered up animal sacrifices and offerings under the old law. We're not under that law, but the new law is we have our sacrifices, we have our offerings of a spiritual nature. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. This is in our worship, and this is in our service to God. This is what we're doing right now. This is what we do when we come together here. So if we want our prayers to be answered, we need to be here worshiping God. And God will remember those offerings and those sacrifices. And in addition to what we call acts of worship, just each day, our body is to be a living sacrifice. Our mind, our thoughts, our words, our actions, all of it, each day is to be offered up to God. And if we're doing something that shouldn't be offered up to God, then we need to stop doing that. But it's a daily sacrifice in addition to special things we do when we come together to worship. Pat, number 4, what gives the Christians boldness and confidence in prayer? Okay. Turn with me to 1 John 4. We have boldness that God will hear and answer our prayers. And what is the little word if? If what? It's condition. There's a lot of conditional statements in 1 John. If, that little word if. But we have boldness. If we ask anything, what? According to His will. Now, the reason I put this in there is back in Psalm 20, the people are praying for the king, and you know, grant his heart's desire and grant his wishes and so forth. Well, obviously, when you take the rest of Scripture in mind, it's based upon wishes and desires that are according to the will of God, not just personal things. We know from James chapter 4 and verse 3 that James rebukes them for praying for things so that they might spend it on their selfish lusts and things like that. We're talking about asking according to His will, and when we do that, He hears us, and we have that boldness and that confidence, so we have to add that into that. And verse 6, now I know that Jehovah will answer him, that there's boldness and confidence there, that God answers prayer. And if we're asking according to His will, if we're offering up the sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices like we're supposed to be, then we have that confidence that God answers. And the reason that is important is we don't get a physical answer when we pray, do we? We get this big booming voice out of heaven, so we know that He just answers. We don't have that. But we shouldn't be living in doubt and, wondering, That's John's point. We have boldness and confidence, even though we physically don't hear an answer. If we're asking according to His will, we believe that He hears us. Some people pray, but they don't. It's almost like, well, I'm not really sure if that's going to, do anything. And James says that when we pray like that, we're unstable. We don't need to pray doubting and things like that. Okay, number 5. Kenny, there's several here, but the point of number 5 is that the king and the people were not trusting in horses and chariots. Verse 7, they were trusting in God. Let's look at a few of these examples. Kenny, what did Jonathan say about the Lord's salvation? Yeah, that's what I was looking at right there. God, it doesn't matter to God whether you have many or few, He's going to help you. And it's the last part of that verse that's really good. Misty, how did David face Goliath?
He
came in what? He said, I have come.
He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God.
Right.
Right,
and that's Psalm 20. They're coming in the name of the God of Jacob. Yes, they have a physical war machine there, just like other nations. They had spears and swords and all of that, but they're coming, trusting in God and in the name of God. Matthew, what did Ken? What did Isaiah say about Egypt's might? Right. Go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Verse 1 is what I was looking at. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel. And there are people who do that. And even if Israel ran off and tried to, trust in Egypt, they're not going to be helped. God's still going to judge them. Andrea, what did Zechariah say about Zerubbabel finishing the temple? Zechariah 4:6. You get that one? Right. Zechariah preaches to Zerubbabel to encourage him to finish rebuilding the temple, and it would be by God's Spirit, not by his own personal might. So God is in the picture. What did Paul say about victory, Matthew?
Even tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, and all these things, the Lord is conquered.
Right. So, more than conquerors, again, that allusion to battling, and God is going to give us the victory. Larry, who can and should be trusted each day?
The Lord will not forsake, also the Lord is our shield and strength.
Right. There is a theme here of trusting in God, trusting in the name of God, trusting in the strength of God. And so verses 1 through 3, days of trouble can become days of triumph, verses 4 through 6, if we trust in the name of the Lord, verses 7 through 9. So whatever trouble we're going through, we have to put trust in God. There's nothing wrong with, you know, working and taking care of our physical needs, and we might have a bank account and things like that. But ultimately, we do not trust in money. We don't trust in America's military power. Ultimately, we trust in God each day. We're blessed to live in this country. We're blessed. We have many blessings. We should appreciate what God has given us in this country, but ultimately our trust is not in government, man, money, economy, military power, or anything like that. It's in God. Okay, before we close this morning, turn back with me to Psalm 16. Whenever we finish a group of five psalms, I've been wanting to go back and review. So we've just finished another section of five psalms, so turn back with me to Psalm 16, please. Let's just briefly review the last five psalms. First of all, Psalm 16, the Lord is my all. Verse 2, thou art my Lord, I have no good beyond thee. You are my all. We sing in our psalm books, he is my everything, he is my all. This psalm is the psalmist putting his complete trust and confidence in life. Verse 8, I have set Jehovah always before me. He's at my right hand. God is my all. When I get up each day, God governs my life. And it's a beautiful psalm. There is this one verse in verse 10, the well-known verse, thou will not leave my soul to Sheol. This is the one quoted in Acts 2 and applied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, this psalm is a psalm of trust, but it also has a brief messianic element to it. Turn with me to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. A prayer for protection from wicked enemies. Verses 8 and 9, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies that compass me about. So a psalm of trust, a psalm of I need help and crying out for the enemies that are surrounding me. Psalm 18, Psalm 18, God save the king. This was the longest psalm that we looked at so far. Look at the very last verse. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth loving kindness to his anointed, to David. See that anointed? Psalm 20, we looked at that today. The anointed. Here's the anointed. Who is it? To David and to his seed, so the king. So the whole psalm is about the need for deliverance, and we studied that. There was the example of deliverance and so forth. God helping the king with his enemies. Okay? And then last Wednesday night, that great psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's world, verses 1 through 6. God's word, the law of God, verses 7 through 9. And then God's worker or God's servant, verses 10 to the end there. This is a psalm that is didactic, meaning just simply teaching or instructing. It's teaching about the Word of God. It's teaching about creation. So it's described that way. And then, of course, today, praying before the battle. And up here you'll see the word royal. Some of the psalms are classified as royal psalms because the emphasis is on King David and something that he's needing help with. Or a king, if not David, a king in Israel's period of time. So they're often called royal psalms. So it's always good to go back and just briefly review what was this psalm about, that type of thing, and help to solidify that in our mind. I think today one of the main lessons that I want us to take from this is the need to pray before going into battle. Don't wait till you get into trouble to start, hey, I need a bailout, you know, I need some help. God is there, but remember to do that before. Kneel before you fight. Pray before you get into trouble. And that will be a big help. Any questions or comments or observations over Psalm 20? Shannon and then Eric. Eric? Oh, did I say a hand over here? I'm sorry. Shannon.
What's working in the Psalm for you this past week? We've been studying history and stuff. We've been in Washington, D.C. and all that.
Right.
And a lot of difficulty in our nation in the past, and even more so in the past, is not having a voice with the ruling, you know, like the king or anything like that, and a lot of unrest and difficulty with people and things like that. You see that in the dictators today.
Right.
Even, well, we have to relate that, I think, in our country now because we have a voice. So for the moment, we can petition the government and things like that. That's not always been the case.
Right.
I just add weight for me when you say that in verse 9, may the king answer us when we call. And like you said, talking about God, even through our dictatorship and what they were, you have, forget all that.
You can kind of bypass that.
Go right to God himself.
Right. And we're not going to start, you know, revolting against government. We're not going to start abandoning government and just, well, I'm just sort of going to have this isolationist mentality and not pay my taxes. We're not going to do that. But at the same time, it's like you're beating your head against a wall. You can't really get any substantial change done, even when you go to the voting box. So what are you guaranteed? Well, I can guarantee that I can go to God and pray and be heard. And sometimes that's about all you can do. That's a good observation. Anything else? Let's put our trust in God. Let's continue to pray to Him. And we're guaranteed that if we ask according to His will, if we are living right, that He will hear us and He'll give us what's best, even in this nation. Let's sing Psalm 20. This is to the tune of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's all sing. The Lord in your distress attend. Let Jacob's God exalt in still. Help from the holy temple send. And strengthen you from Zion's hill. May He your sacrifice regard, and all your offerings bear in mind. May He your heart's desire reward, fulfilling all you have designed. In your salvation we'll rejoice, in our God's name our banners raise. Oh, may Jehovah hear your voice. Grant all you ask through all your defense and saves his own anointed king. From holy heaven he answers sins, his right hand saving power will bring. In chariots some boast confidence, and on their horses some rely. But we boast only one defense, the name of God, the Lord Most High. While we are raised and upright stand, our foes are made to bow and fall. Oh, save the King, Lord, by your hand, and answer us the day we call. Thank you.